Now I'd like to turn to the Old Testament book of Job this evening in chapter 19. Those that were with us the past few days will have heard the gospel presented from the New Testament and also from the fifth gospel, the book of Isaiah. And we are observing, those that were here listening would have observed that it's the same gospel in the Old Testament that we preach from the New. It's not as well expanded, but it's there, in essence. And we're going to go back to the book of Job tonight and discover that very same truth from the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible, written about between 1500 and, I would judge, about 1900 years before Christ was born. We're looking back 1900 years just over to when Christ was crucified on the cross. Today, we're looking back 1900 years on Job. He's looking forward 1900 years or so to when Christ is going to die upon the cross. And he speaks of that event. And in chapter 19 and verse number, well, let's read verse 23 for context. He says, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." He doesn't know that they're going to be inspired shortly afterwards when he says these words and written in the Word of God, but his desire is that they're going to be recorded for posterity. And he says that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. He's going to say something now that he once preserved because of its vital importance. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Shall I see God? Notice his Redeemer, his God. "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another." And the Lord will be pleased to bless afresh the reading of his word this evening. In these three verses that we're looking at tonight, specifically verse 25, 26 and 27, we have the essence of the gospel. For Job speaks about four things. He speaks about redemption. And he says, "My Redeemer." And he speaks about reconciliation. And he's not just referring to the Redeemer. He's referring to my Redeemer, his personal Redeemer. He is reconciled to God, the Redeemer. And then he speaks of restoration because he says that he shall stand in the latter day in his flesh. That flesh that we're going to think of in a few moments that was terribly, terribly corrupted outwardly was going to be raised. He speaks of his resurrection, he says. Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. And he speaks of restoration to God, restored in body. And he speaks of resurrection, for he speaks of the resurrection of the body. But I also think he's speaking of the resurrection of Christ, because he says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And he's speaking about a living Redeemer. And that one who died on that center cross the third day rose again from the grave according to the scriptures. But let's look at these words that Job speaks, for he speaks with certainty. We're going to observe his certainty. He says, "I know." And then we're going to think of his Savior, my Redeemer. And then we're going to think of his assurance, for he speaks of my Redeemer liveth. He has assurance that he has a living Redeemer. And not only that, but in light of the work of the Redeemer, he is going to stand in resurrection upon this earth and enter into God's glorious kingdom as one of the saints of God. Now, there are folks here tonight who can take these words and make them their own, and have done so, who can say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." I wonder tonight, dear friend, if every one of us can say that. Is he your Redeemer? Can you look back and see a point of time when you personally turned in from your sin to God and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he became your Redeemer? This is, of course, referring to the Lord Jesus. And although in the Old Testament the word Redeemer is used of God, and it's used here of God, for it says, "Yet in my flesh shall I see God," It must be the Lord Jesus Christ, because the one that is returning to this earth, as Zechariah chapter 14 and Zechariah 12 tells us, is the Lord Jesus. He is the one that will return to this earth and establish his kingdom. And so we learn here that the Redeemer is God, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only because the Lord Jesus is God could he suffer on that cross 3 hours what you and I deserve to suffer eternal years and pay the penalty for our sin. Now think of his certainty. He says, I know. He says, my friends know. He doesn't say, I think I know. He's speaking with a certain assurance, and he says, I know. It's great to be assured, dear friend, of this great truth, that we know for a certainty that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the Redeemer. But it's not just good enough to know that truth. We must enter into the good of it. The devil knows that Christ is the Redeemer of sinners, but he's not saved. And there's many a person who's heard the gospel and they understand they are guilty sinners in the sight of God. They understand that that Christ died on that cross and paid the penalty for their sin. They understand that he died and laid down his life and he rose again the third day. And they understand that he's sitting on the throne of God in heaven today, waiting for guilty sinners like you and I to repent. And they understand that he's going to come in judgment on this wicked world. And they're still not saved because they haven't made him their own Redeemer. And they can't say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job speaks of his Savior. Is he your Savior tonight, dear friend? Because you need him as your Savior. And he speaks of his assurance. He liveth. And Job could look forward to the Redeemer that was going to die upon the cross and rise again. And we can look back those 1900 years to the time when Christ died and was buried and rose again. And the work is finished. And it's the same gospel of God's grace, whereby Old Testament saints were saved and New Testament saints are saved. Now maybe somebody here wonders why they need a Redeemer. Maybe we go to church. Maybe we say our prayers. Maybe we read our Bible. Well, Job was doing all the right things. In fact, in chapter 1 of the book of Job, it tells us that Job was perfect. Not sinlessly perfect, but as perfect as a guilty sinner can be, because he was a one that feared God, and he eschewed, he hated evil, and he served God fearfully and reverentially every day of his life. But he needed a Redeemer. And it matters not how righteous we might be, we need Christ as our Redeemer and our Savior. Well, let's think for a few moments about Job's condition, for he's in a terrible condition. In fact, if you read chapter 1, in one day he lost all his wealth, well, most of his wealth. He lost all his cattle, and he lost all his sheep, and he lost all his asses, and he lost all his oxen in one day. And he lost his 7 sons and 3 daughters in the same day. Not enough if he lost the first and the last. The pain of that must have been terrible, but he lost all of them. And if that wasn't bad enough, a few days later, Satan comes in again, and Satan afflicts him with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. And you have to read through the book of Job to get the picture here. He speaks about how he, as though he could eat his flesh, gnash at his flesh. And he speaks about writhing in the dust. And the word for boils is the word for leprous boils. And if you read all the verses that speak of Job's suffering, it's been identified that he was suffering from black leprosy. Black leprosy. And it produced these boils that were basically ulcerous. Ulcerous boils, that's what the word means. And he basically stank. In fact, if you were to go back into chapter 19 and read verses 13 through to 17, you'll understand why everybody left him. He says, my brethren are far from me. They don't want to come near him. He says, mine acquaintances are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me as a stranger. He says, I'm an alien to them. He says, I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. What a terrible sight he was. The only comfort he got was from a piece of pottery, and he scraped his boils. He scraped the pus that came off them to help reduce something of the stench and get some alleviation from the pain. What a terrible, terrible sight. But you know, the outward appearance of Job is really just like our inward appearance tonight to a holy God if we are not saved. You know, that's what the Bible tells us. It tells us this: we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. We are dead in trespasses and sins. And the scripture speaks of men whose mouths are like open sepulchres. In chapter 17, verse 1, Job speaks of the corruption of his breath. And he refers to that in chapter 19, too. He says, "My breath is strange to my wife." The man stank. And you know, before the sight of a holy God, we stink if we haven't received Christ as our Savior. If you go back to the 1300s, 1350, and you go out to France, there's a place where the famous tapestries are made. It's pronounced Bayeux. And in Bayeux in the 1350, the Black Plague had spread. And there was a young girl, and she was from a wealthy family, and she got a fever. And she had the outward symptoms of the early stages of the Black Plague, the headache and the chills. And the family called for the doctor, and the doctor came and examined her, and he said, "I think she's got the Black Plague." But he said, "I'm going to come back in a few days and I'll have to check her again." And he came back in a few days. And he inspected her, and he was convinced it was the Black Plague. And those few days, that little girl had been weaving together with her own hands a lovely little piece of embroidery. And she wanted the assurance that it wasn't the Black Plague, for that was the sentence of death. And she holds out the little piece of embroidery to the doctor. And he shook his head. And he walked away. You see, he couldn't take it, because it was contaminated with the same disease that she had. And that's just like us in the sight of a holy God, as he looks down on us. And he sees us, it doesn't matter how good we are, and how self-righteous we are, and how much we fear God, and how much we read our Bible, and how much we pray. If we've not received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then all our works are contaminated by our sins. That's why Isaiah says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before a holy God. Now Job says these lovely words. He says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." What is a redeemer? A redeemer is somebody who pays a ransom to buy back something to him. The story is told of a little lad called Johnny. Well, I'm not sure of his real name, but we call him Johnny. And he was walking down the street, and he looked into a shop window. It was a second-hand shop, and he couldn't believe his eyes. For in that window was a lovely yacht, a handmade yacht. And it was the very yacht that he'd made with his own hands. And he'd set the mast, and he'd hung the sails, and he'd sailed it on the river, and the wind had took it, and it had blown away. And someone had found it, and had gone into the shop and sold it to the second-hand shop owner, and it was in the window. And he inquired of the price, and he went home, and he got all his savings out, and he went back to the shop, and he paid the shop owner, and he bought that yacht back to himself again. And as he was going away, he said, "You're twice mine." He said, "I made you, and I paid for you." Now, that's exactly what redemption is about. And that's true of us too, for God owns us twice over. He made us. He designed the first man, Adam, from the dust of the earth, and took Eve from his side. And we are the sons of Adam and Eve. We are God's creation. He owns us by creatorial right. But he also owns us by paying the redemption price on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty for our sin, by which he can buy us back to himself again. But let me be clear on this, dear friend, tonight. Although the redemption price for your sin has been paid on Calvary's cross, you don't have salvation until you receive it. You see, God is offering it you as a gift. He's not going to force it on you. He's made us with free will, and we have a choice to accept or reject. And the moment we turn in repentance to God, recognizing that however righteous we are, we're still guilty sinners in the sight of God, And the moment we receive the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, we get God's salvation. We get that full and free gift. We get eternal life. And we come into the good of God's great redemption. And then we can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And although we live in a world of uncertainty, there are people in Ukraine today who've lost homes and houses and cars and jobs and wealth and health. And some of them are in as bad a condition as Job in some ways. It's been said, to lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Tonight, dear friend, you can be like Job. You can know that you're going to be raised again if you die. Whatever condition our bodies may deteriorate to. And he speaks of worms eating his body. That's something we don't like to think about. Job was faced up with the reality that he was going to die. And that's a vital thing to face up to. But what a blessed thought to know that we're going to be raised again. And our souls are going to be with God. And our souls will be resurrected. Our bodies will be resurrected. And we will have a resurrection in that future day if we know Christ as our Redeemer. And we will reign with him. There will be a resurrection, of course, for the wicked yet, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. But tonight, dear friend, as the gospel is preached, we trust you'll listen carefully to our next speaker, our evangelist, Robert Platt, for he's going to tell us more of this great redemption that God has given us through his precious Son.